our eternal rock, our creator, we bless your name. We thank you, oh, our Father, for your faithfulness towards us, for your love that never ends, that is unconditional. We thank you for the show and the portrayal of your love in our lives every day. And especially today, Father, as we are celebrating our earthly fathers, we give all the praise and all the glory back unto you, our heavenly Father, that makes us to love because you first loved us. Glory, honor, and adoration be unto you in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, we've come once again to dwell on your word, to encourage ourselves, even with your words. Father, we ask, oh God, that you yourself will speak to us today. We ask for your presence, Holy Spirit, the divine teacher. I ask that you would take your place, that you strip even me, the vessel of the flesh, and your spirit would take over. That which you would have us hear, be encouraged by, be taught of, is what we will hear today in the name of Jesus. And we pray, oh God, at the end, you will help us to not only be hearers of your word, but be indeed doers in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day once again to all our fathers in the house, the fathers, the grandfathers, and the fathers to be. So in essence, we refer to all the men in the house. We give God all the glory for your life. You are all appreciated and beloved. Today, by the grace of God and by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, we'll be sharing a message titled, The Father's Love. Praise the Lord. The Father's Love. And with the song that we just heard, I know that it's one that is common that we've listened to all the time, but this is an apt period to sing it again, to remind ourselves of the love of the Father and to be encouraged by that love. Our God is indeed a good, good Father. We're going to be taking our text from the book of Luke 15, 11 to 32. Luke 15, 11 to 32. It's a long one. So I will read, and I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. Luke 15, 11 to 32, the parable of the lost son. And Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. There are numerous teachings and examples in the Bible of how God shows his love towards us. There are so many examples, you know, of God's deep and big love. We are surrounded by it, of God's deep and big love for us. You know, the sun, you know, the sun that in the sky that provides for all of our needs is one of that example. The sun shines on both the saved and the unsaved, shines on both the sinners and the saved. The sun shines on both the believers and the non-believers. Believing in God is not the prerequisite for the sun shining on every one of us. That is one of the big show of God's love. Likewise, the rain, you know, the rain falls on everyone, sinners and the saved alike. It fertilizes our ground and helps us to live, all of us, irrespective of whether we believe in the creator of the rain. And even maybe the biggest proof of God's love is the salvation of our soul through Jesus Christ. God coming as Jesus Christ himself, the Son, and sacrificing his life for us. So those are big examples that when we see, you know, we know that God loves us. It takes somebody that loves unconditionally to be able to do all this. But those are abstract examples. So that is one of the reasons why I like the examples, or the example of this prodigal son, because this one is more relatable to us. You know, it's a father and a son. And in our midst as human beings, we have fathers and we have sons. So we can relate to both end of the story. Because we don't have the ability to create, you know, to let rain fall or to let the sun shine. So that doesn't really relate as well as this parable in the Bible. So it is one of the ones that I believe is more relatable, that we can see ourselves in the father and the son. You know, in this story, we see the intimate human ways that God, our father, loves us. The same way that we can relate to how a father, for those of us that are fathers and have children, how you can relate to the way that a father loves a son. So how does the father love us in this example? In this parable, we see three ways. We're going to talk about three ways that a father showed his love for his son. And then by extension, how God shows his love for us. The first way, the first point is that he lets him go. The father let the son go. You know, according to the Bible, it is customary in those days, in those times, that it is the eldest son that will receive the double portion of his father's inheritance. And it's also the eldest son, by virtue of being the eldest son, that will get an inheritance first. So the eldest son goes first, and then the younger son will wait his turn after. But this child in this story did not wait for his turn. He didn't wait until the father decided to give it, because also the father should have been the one deciding, not the son demanding it. But we saw here that the prodigal child did not wait for his father to decide. He demanded his portion right away. And we see that the father, the dad, he did this. He gave it to him without a word. He gave him his portion and let him go. We can say it is against any wise counsel, you know, wise in natural terms. We can say it, we saw that it was done without any manipulation. He did not try to manipulate him. And it was done without any strings attached. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to give you your portion, but you have to do this, you have to do that. You know, maybe only for a couple of weeks, you have to be within the country. He gave no conditions. He gave no strings. He gave it to him. He saw that the son was old enough to make his decision, even though the decision was foolish, but it was a foolish one, but the father let him make it. That means that he loved him enough to let him go. And so God, our Father, is exactly like this. He lets us go too. We are free to disobey him if we want, We can reject and abandon the church. We can ignore all the wise counsel of his word and the promptings of his Holy Spirit and go our own way. He lets us do this. And some of us, we may think, you know, why does God do that? Why does God just literally let us do it? He can stop us. He has the divine power. He can like literally freeze us into obedience. He can make us obey him. But this would not be love. That would not be love. Because love means leaving the door open, but not locking the door into a prison. God loves man enough to allow him to be free. He loves us enough to risk the rejection, to risk us rejecting him in order to gain true faithfulness and love in return. Romans 2:4 says, or do you disregard the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? It is the Lord's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's your kindness that leads us to repentance, oh Lord. Knowing that you love us no matter what we do, makes us want to love you too. Is your kindness that leads us to repentance, oh Lord. Knowing that you love us no matter what we do, makes us want to love you too. You know, when we think about God's love and how unconditional it is, it spurs back in us the desire to love him, to be repentant, and to return his love. So God does not make the mistake the way that we earthly fathers may make, you know, confusing being in control with having compassion. God loves enough to deny self and allow his children to choose the way they live and live the way they choose. But also, even why he does that, like the father in that parable, God doesn't end, you know, his love doesn't end with a goodbye. There is always room for a return. Hallelujah. The second way that God shows his love in this parable is that he waits for a return. Like I just mentioned, in that parable, it says that the father saw his son returning while he was still a long way off. He didn't barricade the doors. If the doors were barricaded, then the son wouldn't even be able to come back in. He didn't have the locks changed so that he can't even, you know, have access anymore. He was expectant. That means he was expectant and available at the first glimpse of the son's return. That is how God loves. He waits expectantly for our return, and he makes himself visible all the while. Everywhere there are signs of God's presence and his love, if only we can see. The signs of his love is in the beauty demonstrated by his creation that shelters and feeds us. We can see it in the will and conscience that we possess continually. This attests to the ability given by the Father. He has given us that ability to choose, that free will. The Bible speaks of God's love and provides assurance and guidance for a good life here and even an eternal life with God in heaven. These are all signs of God's love. These are reminders of his concern for us, no matter where we go. The father in that parable also had great faith. He had great faith that his son was coming back. That is why he left the door open. That is why he didn't change, you know, the locks. And even at one point, he said when his brother was angry, he said to the older son that the younger son had been dead, but now was alive. This is a fair assessment, because he was gone. You know, he was unfaithful. He was destitute. He was dead to his God. He was dead to his family. He was dead to his people. But the father waited for this dead son's return. Such is the foolishness of fathers who love their children. And foolishness in quotes. They hope and hope against hope to receive them back from many states, even from the state of the dead. God's love is like this, that while we sin, while we ignore him, while we mock him and all that he had done to show us his love, he plans for and works each day to win us back. And he waits anxiously to see us from far off, even just like the prodigal son returning to him. So he lets us go, but he waits for us. Hallelujah. And when we do return, he displays his greatest show of love. And this is seen in the third way, even in that parable, the third way that he showed his love, which was that he restores him. He restores the lost son. He restores the prodigal son. This is the same way that God restores us. You know, it is one thing to take back a child that has been errant. It is one thing to take the child back, but it is another to restore, to fully restore that child back to their old position, back to their glory. When the son was coming back, what he wanted was, oh, I have sinned. I cannot even ask. He couldn't even fathom that he will be back to being a son to his father. He wanted to now be a slave. He wanted to have a means of feeling, you know. You remember that it was when he was hungry that he was able to think. So all he was thinking was that if I go back to my father and I start walking, then I will have food, I will have shelter. So he expected to be earning his keep now. And we all agree that that is what he deserved, you know, after all he had done. He had his chance, he lost it. So we know that it's even better that if the father had done that, you know, put him in a position of a slave, we would say, oh, it's even better than he deserved. But what the father gave him was restoration and mercy. The father's gift in the scripture, they said he greeted him with kisses and showed him his love and affection. Kisses is a sign of love, is a sign of affection. That was how the father, you know, welcomed him back. And then he said he put the best robe, you know, which signifies his son's sheep position. The long robes, you know, the robes worn by the sons, by the nobles. He put the long robes on him and he put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. If he was a servant, he would have had to go bare feet. But the father did. He gave him all this gift, showed him all this indication that he was not a slave. And he would never be a slave as long as he comes back. The ring, you know, mark of sonship, of belonging. The father took him back as a son and not a slave. Even the fattened calf and the celebration, they were all precious gifts. He took the fattened one, the best that he had, to celebrate. So the father gave his son the right to laugh again, the right to experience joy, because with forgiveness comes restoration, and with restoration comes joy. Hallelujah. The father felt compassion, which told us and told the son, he showed the son that his father understood his pain and efforts that he took to come back, and that his father forgives him. So he restored his son back to sonship with all of its rights and with all of its privileges, nothing lost, nothing broken. He even defended him to his older brother, you know? So our God, our Father in heaven, this is the type of father that he is. When we return to him, he doesn't give us what we deserve or what we've earned, what we warrant. No, he restores us completely as sons and daughters. And when he does that, that means that we have no more sin. Bible says he forgives us. Acts 2:38. There is no more shame. Bible says it covers us with Christ. Galatians 3:26. No more condemnation. He doesn't accuse us. And he does not allow anyone to accuse us either. Hallelujah. He does not accuse us, and he does not allow anyone to accuse us. And he also, no restitution need to be made. We did not have to make any restitution because the cross already made that for us. Romans 4:5. And then there is no more sadness. There is hope of heaven that we rejoice forever in our Father's household. Amen. In addition to this, God, our Father, defends us. He defends us against the constant charges of the enemy of our soul, of Satan, that we are unworthy. You know, by keeping the blood of Christ and the prayers of the Holy Spirit constantly at the throne of mercy on our behalf, defending us and justifying us. He is our justifier and our great defense. When the Heavenly Father restores us, he restores us to our heavenly position as sons and daughters of God, occupying the right hand of his throne with Jesus. Amen. In summary, this parable teaches us many practical lessons for fathers, as we celebrate Father's Day today, but even for parents generally, and then as children of God. It teaches us that the purpose of our work with our children is to eventually let them be what they choose to be. What they choose to be, even when that doesn't, you know, jive with what we want for them. If that doesn't match our expectations for them. It teaches us that we can let go, but we must not give up. Amen? We can let go, but we must not give up. We can still have influence, and we can still maintain a relationship with our children through prayer, through love, and a willingness to monitor and encourage their progress and sympathize with their failures. Just knowing that we are there for them. We are there standing, not overriding their decisions, but standing and always there as a ready support. And the story also teaches us that fathers should not be or do not say, "I told you so," but rather they should say, "I love you so." That was the whole attitude of the father to that prodigal son indicated. When the prodigals come home, when we come back to our father doesn't make slaves of us. He makes us sons and daughters once again, outrightly. Amen. It also demonstrates the real way that God deals with us, especially, you know, the wild children, the wild one. The prodigal son was a wild child, but he finally came home to the arms of a loving and forgiving father. This is the essence and the beauty of this parable, and it is relevant in every place and every time where fathers wait patiently out there in the world. I know that there are so many children that are wild right now that have gone their way. But then there are fathers that are waiting patiently for the return, for the turning around of that prodigal son or that prodigal daughter. So this morning to all our earthly fathers, I am saying to you, do you love like the Heavenly Father? Do you demonstrate this love like he does? As a born-again child of God, do you now present like you carry your Heavenly Father's DNA? The fact is that when we were born as sinners, it was in sin that our mothers gave birth to us. We were carrying the DNA of the devil, whether we like it or not. We had Satan's DNA in us. But praise be to the Lord, when we gave our lives to Jesus, when we repented of our sinful ways and nature, and we accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior, through baptism and reconciliation, our sinful DNA was flushed out. Amen. That DNA was purged out, and we were infused with the DNA of our Heavenly Father, the pure, sinless, spotless DNA. This is what being born again does for us. We now carry the genes of our Father. So the question again is, now that you now have God's DNA, do you love like he does? Do you represent him well in all ramifications with the children he has given to you, with the home that he has made you the head over, with the ministry that he has called you to, with the work that he has placed in your hands? Do you represent the Lord? Do you represent your Heavenly Father? Do you portray your new revamped DNA? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. As we conclude, we are going to pray, even as the Lord will have us do. We're going to be making declarations and prophesying even unto our fathers. So to all the fathers in the house, I want to ask if you can kneel down. Please kneel if you're comfortable kneeling. If not, if you are okay sitting down, please sit down, but be surrounded by your family. And I will ask the children first to please just go around your father and put a hand on any part of his shoulder. Let all the children in the house go to your father, place a hand on his shoulder, for the children that are either too young, you know, the toddlers, the infants, can the mothers please represent the children and just place a hand on your father. And you're going to be praying for your father. I want you to first thank God for your dad. Thank God that he has made him your father here on earth. Thank God for the home that he has placed you into, with your father being the head over that home. Give God all the praise, because it is not by accident. It is not by accident that he is your father and you are his son or you are his daughter. So I want you to thank God for this. And then I want you to pray for your father. Ask the Lord to help him to be that good, good father, to be that representative of our Heavenly Father. It is only the Lord that can do it. As a child, ask the Lord to help your dad, to equip him, to enable him, to infuse his spirit in him, that he will portray the spirit of the Heavenly Father. He will portray the genes and the DNA of the Heavenly Father, that even in your home, you as a child, you will indeed see and give glory to the Lord's name. I want you to pray for strength for your father. Ask the Lord to grant him strength in all his undertakings. Ask the Lord to grant him wisdom from above, wisdom to lead the home, wisdom to train you up in the way that you should go. And for those of us that are already adults, the wisdom to continually be in that space for us. Begin to pray that your dad will prosper and that he will be in good health, even as his soul prospers. Ask the Lord to prosper your father, prosper his health, prosper his work, and prosper the home that he has made for him. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Secondly, I want our mothers and our wives to also place a hand on our husbands and fathers. And we're going to be decreeing and declaring, even on their heads. We're going to decree that the Lord will establish the work of their hands. Bible says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us to establish the works of our hands. Yes, to establish the works of our hands. Bible says we should commit our works to the Lord and our plans will be established. Begin to decree that the Lord will establish the works of his hands. Every work of his hands, the work in the home, his work, his source of income, and even his ministry work, that the Lord will establish it. That it will be established of the Lord. It will be set that the Lord himself will be at the realm of the affairs to establish him, to set him up on all fronts in the name of Jesus. Then I want us to decree that the Lord will stand by him at all times, in all trials and temptations, and that the Lord will enable him to resist and to overcome. We know that the Lord, the Bible says, in this world we will have troubles. There will be trials, there will be temptations. But we begin to decree right now that the Lord will stand by our husbands. He will stand by the father of our children in all circumstances, at all times. And he will give him that grace to resist, that grace to overcome in the name of Jesus. Every trial that comes his way, he will overcome. Every temptation that comes his way, he will resist. Every trouble that comes his way, in whatever form or shape, be it in sin, be it in the devices of the enemy, that the Lord will cause him to overcome. The Lord will cause him to resist, and the Lord will cause him to be triumphant in the name of Jesus. Decree that no weapon that is formed or fashioned against him will prosper, and every tongue that may be risen against that, the Lord will condemn at all times, in all situations, in the name of Jesus. Finally, I want us to decree and to declare that he will continually experience the overwhelming love of God in his life. We know it all starts from this. We love because he first loved us. Let us pray that our husband, the father of our children, will experience personally God's love. He will be assured of it. you will know it and you will be filled with God's love. Because when he has God's love and he's confident of it, that is when he will be able to love others as God loves. So let us pray that the Lord will surround him with his love. He will be confident of it. He will know, he will be sure of it. Even as the prodigal son, when he came back, he was assured of his father's love. That so will our husbands, will the fathers of our children, with the male in our household, be assured of the love of our heavenly father. And even as they experience it, as they have it, as they want it, the Lord will help them to be able to love others, even in this way, in the name of Jesus. Finally, I just want all of our men to pray for themselves. Please pray for yourself right now from your position. Stretch out your hands up to the heavens and communicate with your heavenly father. Thank him for who he has made you to be. Thank him for the salvation of your soul and the change of your DNA from that of sinful to saved and redeemed. Thank him for the children he has blessed you with. Thank you for the home he has put in your care. Ask that he will keep you anchored to his spirit always. In all circumstances and at all times, ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Ask for the leading of his spirit in all your undertakings. Pray that you will not do anything outside of the dictate of the Most High God, of your Heavenly Father. Pray for the grace to accept, to embrace, and to portray the Father's love. Pray for the grace to finish strong. Pray for the grace to be indeed embraced back, even into his sonship. And that your life will continually indicate this and show this, even until the very end, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And so our Heavenly Father will bless you for today. We give you all praise, O God. We thank you, O God, for your love, for that steadfast love, for that unconditional love, for that great love. Behold, what manner of love you have shown us, given unto us, that we will be called your sons and daughters. Father, we give you all the praise. We pray, O God, that even from today, we'll be even more assured of that love, O God. We'll be more confident in it. And even as our lives are infused, O God, with your love, we pray that we will show this love even unto others in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, we thank you for all the men, all our fathers, our sons. We give you praise for today as we celebrate them. We pray that continually we'll celebrate them. And even as we celebrate them physically, we pray that in the spiritual realm, in heaven, that they are indeed being celebrated for the lives that they have, for who they are in you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.